Okay, got the recording started another way. So here we go. So welcome everybody to our conference call. Again, I'm hosting this from the traditional territories of the Kwinlandun First Nation and Tahn Kwashin Council. And we are just rolling through our learning events. For those of you who started in September, you're coming up to three quarters or more of the way through your certificate. So congratulations. I can't believe how fast the time is going. This is probably the hardest core learning event, RP 101, Plan for Success, and then you'll find after this they get a little bit easier as we move towards May. So I like that synoptics, but clap, clap. Yay! So good. I like hearing that cheering squad. Thank you. So, although the reasons that we plan might vary, planning is always about making a difference for us and a difference for the people coming to our programs and a difference for our community. As slide number 4 in the presentation slides show, this learning event, RP 101 Plan for Success, introduces to you the importance of planning in recreation settings. And it encourages you to explore how planning for recreation can help you get more benefits for people, like individual, social, and environmental. Planning can also help you identify, or what we're going to do in this learning event is identify some of the basic concepts that are part of a recreation programming cycle. And we're also going to look at how planning can help you achieve longer-term visions or outcomes that are important in your communities. So our agenda today is going to be similar to most of our conference calls. We'll start with some introductions, and the order we're going to go will be the order that you joined the call. So I just have to add Scott's name in there. And I'll make sure I tell you what the order is as we go. And then we'll do a bit of background on planning and how it can help us make a difference. And then we're going to discuss how we plan for outcomes. And I see some of you have already done your RLA or required learning activity for the week. It's quite an easy one this week. Next week takes a bit more time. So if you get it done fairly soon, it shouldn't take you more than 5 to 10 minutes to do the one for this week, and it's about outcomes. So you might want to, if you haven't done it, do it as soon as we hang up the phone or finish the call, because you'll have those thoughts in your mind. So what I'd like you to do is, in your introduction, I'd like you to tell us your name, role, and community, as you always do. And sometimes I know I do say your name, but then I'd like you to briefly share one thing that you had in the past week that required planning. And it can be a personal thing or a work thing. Doesn't really matter. But something that had to be planned, or something that was or will be successful because you planned it. So I'll go first just to give you a bit of an idea, and then we're going to go from Deanne to Kumanopic to David, Peter, Nathan, Isabel, Trista, and Scott. And Trista, I know you're popping in the chat, so you can answer that question in the chat whenever you're ready. So I'm Caroline, as you know, and in the past week I've been trying to figure out what I can do with an extra 4 or 5 days of time at the end of May in and around Yellowknife. It's kind of like in between seasons, but I'm going for some work, and I'm taking my mom with me. She's 87 years old. She loves people. She loves to be outdoors, and she can still walk about 5 kilometers. So I can't be super adventurous, but I also have to make sure that she and so I've been trying to plan some activities that will work. So that's my planning challenge for this past week. So let's go over to Gian, then Kumanopic, then David.
Hey everyone, Gian here from Squash Yukon. Last week I did planning on organizing a league match for round 3. So lots of registration and then the scheduling, and deciding the sponsors and all. So that's what I did last week on that planning part. Thank you.
Thanks. That sounds like a fair amount of work to deal with over the week. So thanks for sharing that. Hopefully things will be more successful because of that planning. So over to you, Kamanathik. What's something you planned either for yourself in your own life or at work over the past week?
Okay. So Mangati, I'm the Health Recreation Coordinator for the municipality of Iglolit. And the one thing that required planning was the after-school program to plan throughout the week what we're going to do, what snacks they're going to eat, what activities we want to do.
That's great, and you probably want to, with your after-school program, make sure that there's enough variety, make sure you have enough staff, make sure the time frames are appropriate. So that requires a lot of different thinking for that planning. So thanks for sharing that, Kamanathik. Over to you, David.
Yeah, so what did I plan in the last week? And pardon me, I'm bouncing around here. David Elder Active, Whitehorse, Yukon, program coordinator. I plan to get my truck in to get fixed.
Ah.
Yeah, the truck's in the shop, but it'll be another week till it gets fixed. The right rear axle broke, so we got to wait for a part. Yeehaw.
Okay. Yay, lucky you. It's still some important planning, because when you need your truck, you need your truck. So good thing to plan around.
It actually took about a month to figure out how I was going to get it, just getting quotes and blah, 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 you know. And, yeah, lots of fun.
Okay. Thanks, David. And over to you, Peter.
Hi there, I'm Peter. I'm the Active Living Coordinator for the Recreation and Parks Association, based out of the Yukon, or out of Whitehorse. This is something more personal, but I am planning a trip to Vancouver next week and I'm trying to jam-pack it full of activities, so it's worthwhile because it's kind of expensive to go out there.
It is. Maybe you'll run into Kamanathik in Vancouver. That would be super cool.
Yeah.
You never know, right? So, but anyways, thanks, Peter, and hopefully you'll have a fun week next week, too, so thank you. Over to you, Nathan. If you'd like to introduce yourself and share something that you've been planning either at work or in your personal life.
Yeah. My name's Nathan Undernote. I'm a recreation coordinator for Baker Lake Nunavut. We've been planning a elder's feast for tomorrow, but been having a hard time finding caribou all week, so we've been planning on second best thing to, I don't know, I think we're just going to have shepherd's pie or something. Had to find different cooks and different bakers for a different type of event, so yeah, that's what I did all week.
Oh, and are you trying to find caribou that people have in their freezers?
Oh, no. Whenever we have fresh. A feast, it's always fresh, like a fresh kill.
Right.
It's usually for 2 days old. Always a fresh kill.
And it's the right time of year for you guys for caribou, too?
Yeah, it's not so bad. They're a little far inland right now, but Baker Lake's an inland community, so it's not that far for us. It's usually a couple hundred kilometers for other communities, usually only 50 for us. But, yeah, they're a little far right now.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully something else pans out for you. So good luck with the elders' piece. I'm sure it's a lot of work. So thanks for sharing that, Nathan. Okay, over to Isabel. If you'd like to introduce yourself and share something you've been planning. And I think you've been pretty busy, so maybe you've got a few things on the go.
Good day, everyone. I am Isabel. I'm calling from Dakokala Haines Junction in the Yukon Territory. I do indeed have a lot of things on the go, but I think in the lens of planning-wise, the biggest thing we're working on right now is the Yukon Youth Summit. That will be the last meeting before we present the territorial youth strategy. So this is a lot of planning. It is a humongous event that we're trying to gather people from the entire territory with leaders, ministers, and a whole bunch of guests involved. There's food, there are a show, a concert, artists. So obviously we are a big team working on it, but we are definitely pulling on everybody's strengths. The communication is super important when we're a big team like this for a big event. So yeah, we're all working hard on this.
Well, that's great, Isabel. I'm glad to hear that you've got a big team, because sometimes you can end up with just one or two people. And that's happening in April, right?
That is correct. April 16 to 19, it will be at the Yukon Arts Center in Whitehorse.
Great. So anybody in the Yukon that's interested in that knows who to talk to. Thanks, Isabel. Okay, and Trista's popped in the chat, and this is kind of exciting what Trista put. Trista's being given the okay to have the recreation complex open 7 days a week. So that's awesome in a small community. That doesn't always happen. But it sounds like your planning challenge right now is scheduling programs and rental opportunities to make use of the space and the extra time that you have available. So we'll look forward to hearing how that's going too, Trista. And Scott, over to you. Anything that, if you wanted to introduce yourself and anything you've been working to plan over the last week?
Hi, I'm Scott. I'm Executive Director of the Hay River Youth Center, and I'm currently planning a filmmaking summer camp to take place over the spring break coming up.
Wow, that sounds fun. Is that for anybody or for youth?
For youth, yeah.
That's great. So you're bringing them together and then they learn how to do video footage and put it all together as a story?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Well, thanks. Well, I'll look forward to hearing how that goes too. So it's kind of exciting asking this question with introductions, because you hear all sorts of things that you know, people are doing, and it's quite interesting, and sometimes we get ideas for ourselves as well. So thank you. And as you can see from our round of introductions, planning is something we all do. You might jot down, it might be as simple as putting down your grocery list, planning your trip to Vancouver, planning a trip out on the land, or it could be as big as planning a territory-wide event. So planning is important, and we do it all the time. We work for businesses or organizations that depend on strategic plans to guide our operations. Our associations rely on program plans and budgets. We live in communities where sometimes your priority is laid out in an official community plan. So although planning in our personal lives is similar to planning a successful program, most people, as you may have learned in Activity 1, don't actually ever receive formal training on how to plan. It's not really something that we're taught at school or anything like that. It's something you might learn from parents or elders, but in a work context, sometimes it's a little different. So we're going to take a look at what planning is. If this is, you know, sort of old information for you, if you feel like you're good at planning, think about how you might be able to introduce the concepts of planning to people that you work with. Scott, for example, you work with youth, and being able to plan in personal lives as well as in, like, for careers and education is a really important skill. So maybe, you know, if you're comfortable with doing planning, you can find some things that you can take away from this learning event to help others that you work with plan well as well. So let's take a quick look at what planning is. Slide 6, if you happen to have the presentation open in front of you, shows you that planning is, at its most basic, like a roadmap. So basically, it helps you figure out where you are, where you want to go, and how you will get there. So that's a really basic way of thinking about a plan, but you can imagine that sometimes we forget to figure out where we are, and people jump right into where do they want to go, and how will you get there? So sometimes we have to sort of backtrack and sit back a little bit when we're doing planning. As I mentioned, in recreation, we plan all the time. Planning helps you get to where you want to go and improves the likelihood that your programs and services will be successful. So Kuminapik, planning for your after-school program probably makes it safer, more fun. It means that the kids have a better time, they're more active, it's a more quality program. So that's what planning does for us. Keep in mind that in recreation, success isn't just about the number of people who come to your program. Success is also about the long-term impacts that our programs have in our communities. So when we think about planning for success, which is the name of this learning event, try and keep in mind to plan with the benefits of recreation in mind. And you will, those of you going way back to Recreation Foundations, back in September we talked about the benefits of recreation. And some of them are shown to remind you on slide number 7. Planning is the first phase of what I would refer to as recreation programming, or the cycle of programming. So if you look at slide number 8, or have looked at it, there's sort of a circular diagram there. And you probably saw that in PE 101, the learning event, deliver programs and events that we did right after Christmas. And what this shows you is that we might plan a variety of programs, and it flows into the design and delivery of each individual program or event, and then it also flows into an evaluation. And some of you on this call are doing evaluation too, so now you can sort of see how that process fits together. On the next slide, and for those of you who were in community building or CB 101 before Christmas, you might remember that there's two different approaches to planning, and it's really important to keep this in mind. So it doesn't really matter how you approach planning, but your planning needs to be flexible so you can adapt to your local context of what you have in your community and the people in your community and also the purpose behind what you're doing. So when you're planning, you want to first think of your community, both the past and the present. And this is kind of shown on slide 10. There's lots of different things to think about. Think about the groups in your community, the elders, the traditions in your community, the language, the history, the values people hold. Then what you want to do is consider why or what the purpose of your plan is. In recreation, planning is always important, because we never have enough time or money. And a plan will help us set priorities that help us decide where to spend the time and money that we happen to have, because it's never enough. Planning happens at various levels for our events, our programs, improving our facilities like Anne you've been talking about, for developing trails, on the land trips. And as recreation leaders, sometimes you plan alone. You might plan with a small group. You might plan with other stakeholders or across sectors or with your community. So if you've looked at slide 11, you can see why planning is complicated. And Kuminapik has pointed out with a committee, that's right. So some people work with recreation committees, wellness committees. You might have a board that you work with. So thank you for adding that. There's so many different types of plans that I tried to show some of them on slide number 11, but there's no set rules about what each one is called. So try not to get too overwhelmed. Just know that there's many different types of plans. So now that I've talked for much longer than I'm used to talking and that we've covered a bit of general background on what planning is, I want us to take a few moments to consider what is important to plan for. So I'm going to ask you a question in a moment, and let me just set the stage for it. So I want you to think that planning is about change, because we're figuring out where we are, where we want to go, and how to get there. So that's creating a change. Planning is about making a difference. It's about ending up someplace else than where we started. So if you think that you have, the after-school program, for example, maybe before your community didn't have that, or maybe you want to plan to make a difference to more children, to open it up to a larger number. So planning, keep in mind that planning is about those changes that we want to make intentionally. So what we're going to do is we're going to go around our circle, and actually I'll just start with Deanne again, and then we'll go backwards the next time, just so that we don't get confused at the order we're in. And so this is called a rapid fire round. So that means you have 10 seconds to tell us about one situation in your community that recreation could potentially change. So that's something that's possible and could happen through good planning. So one of the things that I have been aware of in the time that I've worked in recreation is that in my community, children need opportunities to be active and engaged after school. It keeps them healthy and out of trouble. So the situation that recreation could help change is to provide after-school programs. So that's an example. But there's many different things that you could think of changing and planning to change through recreation. So I'll pop the question in the chat, and Deanne, I'm going to put you on the spot. And Kumnapik, absolutely, it could be something that you plan to change a year ago, 2 years ago, or that you think about doing in the future. It doesn't have to be today. So Deanne, in 10 seconds, what's one situation that recreation could help change in your community?
Hi everyone. There are so many factors. So the one factor is sports. So once you involve anyone into the sports, that's how we can change their social culture behavior, their bad habits. We can bring them in the mainstream. That's how we can do, like bringing them in the squash program or any sports program or recreation program.
So you might
give the right answer or no, but yeah.
So making a sports program more inclusive and accessible,
yes.
Is that kind of what you're saying? Okay.
Yes.
Because some sports programs are not inclusive and some of them are not accessible. That maybe they require expensive equipment or they require transportation that people don't have. So what I hear you saying is that sport is an opportunity, but we have to open it up. We have to plan to make it more accessible for people.
Yeah.
Okay, great, thanks. Kumnapik, what are you thinking about in your mind, something that recreation can help change in your community?
When the pandemic was out and lockdowns were casual, we had to change a whole lot of things because people couldn't get together to one place, so we had to change some stuff that we used to do to what we never did, like window decoration, house decoration, like Canada Day theme, or even in the winter, Hamlet Day, we had to do snow sculpture that we never did before, and we had to drive around town choosing people who would win, and it was pretty hard because we never actually did it, and that's the one specific situation that recreation had to potentially address.
Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. During the pandemic, everybody ended up in their own houses, couldn't get together. But when we were creative in recreation was an opportunity to make people still feel part of their community. So that feeling of belonging is a really, really important thing that recreation can give to people. So thank you for pointing that out. That's great. David, in your community or with the group that you work with, what's one situation that recreation could help change?
Greater social interactivity, removal of isolation.
Okay, so through different activities then, recreation addresses people who might be, well, it helps people who feel so socially isolated have opportunities to come together and feel connected. Is that sort of?
Right.
That's okay, so social
type,
connection.
That's the type of program planning I'm currently looking at, is how to get people out of their homebound comfort zone to greater degree of socialization, which in the long run, I heard a report on BBC today that says it increases life longevity. So,
absolutely, yeah. There's been lots of research out of the United Kingdom or out of England around the negative effects of being isolated socially and the positive effects of connecting with people. So it's interesting, if you think about what Simonopoulos just said, is that you have to be really creative when the pandemic was on to make people feel connected and belong. And you probably, with some of the population groups you're trying to reach, have to be pretty creative, almost as if we still have the pandemic going on, and try and find new ways to overcome some of the barriers that have typically been there. So thanks for that, David. Over to you, Peter. What's something that you think in your community or with the groups that you work with that recreation could potentially help change?
Similar to what was already said, like I know in Whitehorse there's been a huge influx of people, and I feel like we might have lost a little bit of sense of community just because there's so many new faces around town, but recreation helps to bring people together, people who've been in UConn for years or people who've just moved up very recently, and building connections and sense of belonging in the community.
That's great, yeah. So it seems like we're developing a little bit of a theme here, right? That isn't about being physically healthy or anything. Nobody's really mentioned that. You guys have mentioned the social piece. So let's see what Nathan has to say. So Nathan, in your community, what is one situation that recreation could potentially help change or improve?
A lot of good things have been said already, so but I guess perception, people's perception. People are still stuck in the past, still angry, still depressed, still, like I said, living in the past, just can't move on. And recreation can help alleviate that, can get people together, get people to open up, get people to talk, and learn to let things go, the bad stuff in part of their past, look forward to something good, like recreation in the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Nathan. And I think what you're sort of, what came to mind when you were talking is our mental health and well-being. The Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon is working on a video, and at one point in the video, somebody says, recreation is life, recreation is fun. And I think it sounds like, from what you're saying, that recreation has the opportunity to bring people back to maybe their youth when we're all kids and we run around and laugh, or, you know, to forget about some of the challenges in your life and to overcome some of the maybe things that make relationships not as positive. So thanks for sharing that, Nathan. Isabel, over to you. You know, how about in your community? What's the situation that you think recreation could help change?
I think that it's also what I'm mostly working on right now with the recreation in the Kokadahin Junction, and it's the crime prevention with our young people. Having things for them to do, creating healthy habits, connecting with healthy mentors, other adults in the community, creating that safety network. That's my main focus.
That's great. And I think it sounds like you're working in partnership across the community, and with that level of support, that also gives recreation is kind of like a way of working with other groups on something that's positive, rather than getting together with other groups and talking about what's not working. So it sounds like you've got a double positive happening there. So thanks, Isabel. Trista's popped in the chat. She said a youth center or hangout, that there's nowhere for teens to gather and to participate in recreational sports games or just be social together. And yeah, that's a really important one, Tristan. I know from the times I've worked in Nunavut, youth centers and places for youth to go are a huge priority there as well. So thank you for pointing that out. And over to you, Scott, for a NWT insight on how recreation might be able to support change in your community.
Well, definitely the same as what Trista just mentioned, but also just so youth feel like they don't have to leave the community as adults, you know, if there's enough recreation options that they feel like they can, you know, they can actually make their home here once they're finished school.
That's a really good point, because I think I don't know if that happens in all of the communities, but my experience in the Yukon is there tends to be this trend where youth leave their communities at about 17, 18 years of age, and eventually they come back, usually around 24, 25, but there's this gap. So that makes it challenging to offer recreational opportunities, but it also makes it challenging to fill work positions and things like that in the community. So I think what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that recreation can help retain some of our young talent and give people a reason to stay.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our youth, like, once they leave for school, they just don't ever come back, you know, because they just don't feel like this community has enough to offer them.
Yeah, that's tough, isn't it? Like, and then it makes it harder for everybody else in the community, too. So that's nice to hear that recreation has the potential to change that. Thank you. So you can see that we all have challenges in our communities, and there's things that we would like to change. So when we plan, we want to be successful. Nobody, as the quote on slide 12 reads, ever plans to fail. There are never any guarantees, but our plans are likely to be more successful and have a greater impact on our community when we plan with the end in mind. So you might go, oh, what does Caroline mean by that? So if you have the slides open, I'm moving to slide 13. And on slide 13, there's a fortune cookie. And I know that's not very northern. The only other image I had in my mind was like an igloo where it was ice and snow on the outside and nice and warm and cozy on the inside. So I might try that one too. But basically, in recreation, I think we're really good at doing what we do, but we don't often take the time to focus on why we do it. And so when we only focus on what we're doing, offering an after-school program, doing a Christmas games, offering an event in, you know, next month, our time frame to be successful is really short. But if we flip the way that we're thinking and focus on why we're doing it, it might take us longer to get there, but the change or impact is bigger. So the change or impact when we think why we're doing something, we can build those social connections. We can help people feel like they belong. We can help people feel, support their mental health and well-being and provide youth places. But if we feel like we have to do the what right away, we never feel like we actually get where we really want to go. So think about it. The what is what you see in a fortune cookie. So what do I see in a fortune cookie? Like this kind of brown color, crispy thing on the outside. And what we see in recreation, we see things like recreation centers, arenas, programs, special events, trails, things like that. But the why is that are the things that you've said are really important. The why is the fortune on the inside of the cookie. And you can think of that why as being the outcome. So keep that word in mind, and that's what this week's required learning activity is about. So as slide 14 explains, and as you've said too, outcomes guide the work we do in the field of recreation. They're also the reason why our programs, our community groups, and our departments exist. So think about what are outcomes. So you've told me a whole bunch of outcomes already on this call, but let's think about them in a little bit more detail. So slide 15 explains that outcomes are benefits or changes that your participants, your groups, or even your communities experience during and after they participate in recreation. So in other words, outcomes are the things that you just told me about. They build a sense of community. They provide social connections. They improve our mental health and well-being. They make for better relationships. Those are outcomes. What we do to get those outcomes are the things that we do in recreation, like programs, special events, and things like that. You need to think of outcomes also as things that weren't there when you started, okay? So, or were there, but you wanted to improve it. Usually, an outcome means that the change is positive or it's for the better. But in some cases, if you think about from a health perspective, an outcome can be worse. So if you're, you know, if you're not healthy, perhaps an outcome could be diabetes or some type of chronic disease. So outcomes, we want them to be positive, but sometimes they're not. In our work, often we get confused between two words. So outcome is one word and output is the other word. And they're pretty similar. The first three letters on both are the same. But outputs are different to outcomes. So outputs are things that we produce and that we can count. So Kumnapik, you talked about having an after-school program. So you could count that you offer your after-school program 3 days a week from 3 o'clock till 5 o'clock and that there's enough space to take 20 or 30 children or youth in your program. That's an output. But the outcome from that program is that kids have a place to come to, they increase their physical activity, their health improves, they build stronger relationships. So that's the difference between outputs and outcomes. So in this week's required learning activity, which is number 3, you just simply have to go through, and maybe I shouldn't use the word simply, but you go through and you decide on whether the statement is an outcome or an output. So I'd like to look at the situation you just shared, and I'm going to ask you to identify the outcome and the output. So I think you've pretty much already identified the outcome, so you might have to backtrack and think, well, what would I do in recreation and what would be an output of what I did? So I'll give you an example, and Scott, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to go first this time, and we're going to go backwards in our order. So Trista, after I pop the question in the chat, you can think about how you might answer it. So for the situation that you just shared in our last round, what is, and you might be just repeating yourself, but what's the desired change or outcome, and what is an activity or output that could help you make the change? So, Scott, I'll go first, and then I'm going to go to you, and we'll just go backwards in our circle. So for my example, the outcome is that children who are active and engaged in recreation after school develop a sense of belonging in their community. And as I mentioned, the output could be that children who are between the ages of 6 and 11 have access to after-school programming 3 times each week. So that's the output. So, Scott, do you want to give it a shot? Maybe you might want to think about your filmmaking workshop that's coming up, because that's a little bit more tangible. What would be an outcome that you're looking for from that, and what's the output?
I think the outcome from that is that youth will feel like they have an outlet to tell stories and express themselves. And then, the output of that is like, how many people take part?
Yeah, so it could be that you have space for 10 youth and they all go through and 10 of them produce a short film, or five of they work together to produce one short film together or something like that.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we're looking to provide space for 12 youth.
Awesome. And now if your film workshop or camp is, it provides them an outlet to tell stories, why is that important?
I think it gets back to just, having your own voice and individual identity and mental health in a lot of ways. Being able to, have an artistic way to, express some of the things that are going on in your life or, some of you, what's happening in your head, so to speak.
Yeah, so that's a really good way to explain it. So sometimes we start with something that we think is an outcome, and it might be a short-term outcome, but if you ask why enough times to what your answer is, you'll come to things. So you started with an outlet to tell stories, which is a very short-term outcome, right? Might even be an output. And then when I asked why, you said, well, it's important for them to have their own voice. And then you continued on to say why it helps them with their identity, it helps them with their mental health, it helps them be expressive and creative. So if you, when you're planning, keep those whys in mind, because that's what will really be impactful, and that's what over the long term you want to look for. So thanks for letting us dig into that one, Scott. Trista, I'll let you try that in the chat. Maybe think of a youth center. If you did have a youth center, what would be an output and what would be an outcome? And then let's go to Isabel. So Isabel, do you want to use your example of the youth summit and maybe share what an outcome would be and what an output would be from that?
I had set up my thoughts to talk about crime prevention, but the Yukon Youth Summit, it's to have everybody's voice being heard. Sometimes you feel isolated in the communities and you don't feel like you have any power into the decisions that are being made at a higher level, at minister level, and those at the leadership, what they're dictating to do to our, with the government, the young people, they need a space and a time to voice and to communicate with these leaders. So that's what the Yukon Youth Summit is doing, is making sure that every young person has a say into what their future is going to look like.
Awesome. So that is sort of the output would be hearing voices from every community, making sure that all participants feel heard, perhaps. And then longer term, you sort of alluded to it's important for people who are making decisions to hear the voices of young people. Why else is this finding your voice as a young person important?
Well, it's having power into your own life, to your future. It's a sense of belonging to your community and feeling that you matter in what's going on.
Yeah, so those are some of the outcomes that we're really getting to, right? So that, we have a younger generation that feels like they can contribute, that they're part of something, that their ideas make a difference and they can see them making a difference. So thanks. I don't know if you wanted to jump back over to I didn't mean to sidetrack you there, but do you want to share, too, what you were thinking with the crime prevention example?
For the crime prevention, well, it's, in the longer term, we want safer communities. We want young people and community member at large to feel safe and to feel like they belong in their community. And by providing opportunity to do the crime prevention, reducing the boredness and having more healthy opportunity to keep busy in the community is the direct way to do that.
Yeah, so those would be more outcomes, right? Like a safer community, a community where people know each other. Those are the broader outcomes of doing recreation activities, and the activities themselves might be the output, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go over to Nathan. So, Nathan, I'm not sure if you want to weigh in. You could, you know, you told us quite broadly how recreation can kind of influence people's perceptions and attitudes. You could go down that route, or if you want to just explain the Elders' Feast that you're planning and tell us what might be a longer-term outcome behind that and what the actual output might be.
Yeah, I'll talk about the event coming up. Like I said, we're planning on an Elders' Feast for around 50 people. They haven't had any events at all this year yet. It's been a quiet couple months for the elders. It's mainly been active for winter camp kids, and because it's too cold for the elders. Elders don't like going out, but it's minus 20 now, minus 25. It's warming up. So the output is they're going to eat. A lot of the elders don't eat every day, so they're going to get a nice, healthy meal. Served by youth, the RPAN youth leaders will be serving the food for the elders so that they get treated like kings and queens. And then the outcome would probably be the elders getting out, interacting with other elders, interacting with youth, not being so isolated anymore. Just to go out and have fun. That's the outcome. Just to go out and have fun.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you. So you gave us some really tangible outputs. 50 people. They eat dinner. They, you know, they get out of their houses, that sort of thing. And then you mentioned the longer term sort of outcomes, like why an elder's feast is important because of the benefits and impacts that it brings, not only to those elders, but when your elders feel more connected, they feel happier, they're well fed, it spreads to the whole community too. So thanks for sharing that, Nathan, and thanks for letting me put you on the spot. And now I'm going to move to Peter, then David, then Kamanopic, and then Gian. So, Peter, you talked about recreation building a sense of community. I don't know if you want to pick a specific idea or activity or something to explain to us what you see as maybe the activity that you might do or the outputs from that as compared to the outcomes that would result.
Well, one that came to mind is I've been attending this, like, sort of spike ball recreation league that someone has just started on a whim, and they have it every Wednesday, and it's open to everyone. Just come join, and everyone there is very friendly and inclusive, so I guess the outcome would be, like, building community building and creating social bonds, and the output would be, like, creating an atmosphere where people felt like they could join and participate in an activity that they've never done before. I don't know if you want me to be a bit more specific, but...
Yeah, and that makes sense. And, I mean, you could also ask yourself, well, why is this activity important in the grand scheme of things? And I think you kind of imply that it's important because it's not expensive. Anybody can join. You don't have to have a certain skill or be a certain age or anything like that. So then when you start to explain that activity in that way, then you see how recreation can really open the door for people that might not participate, say, in a sport or something like that. So, yeah, thank you. I didn't know that there was a spike ball drop-in, or where's that, at the Canada Game Centre or somewhere else?
Yeah, it's just like a third of the Canada Game Centre in the field house. And, like, what's crazy is you just see, like, people don't, it's just word of mouth. Like, there's not really any advertising because it's not really like a organization or anything. It's just a couple people that have like a bunch of nets and they set them up, and people who are in the facility like look in and they see it and they're like, oh, that looks like fun. And everyone's just kind of really easygoing. It's not super competitive, and it is a very accessible activity. So that is like another reason why it kind of helps. That is a good output, I guess, to achieve the outcome of inclusion and sense of belonging.
Yeah, that's great. And somewhere where people can see it, right? So, yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
David, over to you. You know, you talked in a broad sense about working on recreation that builds social connections. Do you want to try and pick a certain example, like a program that you're running, and tell us maybe what the outputs are that you're seeking from that and what the outcomes are that you expect you might be able to get?
Sure. So what I'm currently working on is trying to gain ambassadors for up there, and Peter just mentioned the Plexi Hall. So this is the Plexi Hall, and the idea is by getting a group of half dozen volunteers to be ambassadors, we will increase the number of participants in the pickleball, the floor shuffleboard, the carpet bowling, as well as the table games, which we're introducing. So that's the outcome we're trying to change, is have someone there to bring newcomers in and let them get their footing, per se. The output is basically to increase the number of overall participants at the game center involved in the senior activities.
Great, thanks. Okay, so I, you know, that's a very clear when you said the output is increase in numbers, so something that we can count or something that's quite tangible, whereas the outcome takes a little bit harder, you know, a bit more description or digging into, takes longer to arise or change. So thank you for that, David. Kumanotic, over to you. Do you want to use your after-school program as an example, or do you want to share with us sort of how what you did during the pandemic, you know, what the outputs and the outcomes were with that? Okay, and I think you're muted, Kumapik. Okay, I'm not sure. Maybe Kumanopic had to step away, so I'm going to go over to you, Gian, and then I'll share what Trista wrote. So, Gian, you're talking about sort of opening up squash so more people can participate. Do you want to explain that a little bit more in terms of sort of outputs and outcomes?
Yes. So what I'm planning to do, planning to start an 8-week program for, so this is sort of different than what we talked, I talked before. What I'm thinking, to start an 8-week program for the newcomers, those who come like immigrants and stuff, like the students and, the people on PR, like not on PR, like, on the work permit or stuff. So they might feel like included into this society, and then they start feeling like their new home as Whitehorse. So it's 8-week program, and I'm going to provide the everything with the equipment, free access to the squash courts, and like all the equipment, and there will be no fee for that. And the outcome I'm looking into, like more number of people taking part into that program, and especially the newcomers.
Awesome. So the actual output is an 8-week program. The number of people that you're looking for would be an output. There are things that happen fairly quickly, stuff you produce as a result of the activity or as a result of your planning. But the longer term piece is people who feel like they belong in their new community. So it's that belonging. And you're using sport as a sort of the vehicle or the means to help them feel like they belong. Is that sort of right?
Yes, that's right.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, Kumanotic, I think I unmuted your phone. Do you want to try explaining now sort of one of those two ideas?
Sure. I was going to say I will be talking about the after-school program. When we first started in November, we barely had equipment, and a lot of them were broken. So we mostly did wolf tag, Red Rover, heads up, 7-up tag, and we used the built-in crayons we had for art and crafts. So talking with Don Curry back and forth, the output came, and she told us to look for equipment on some type of category, and she ordered us about $5,000 worth of equipment. Now we run the after school program with lots of games like dodgeball, parachute, cat and mouse, and we do lots of arts and crafts with those blues and mostly equipment. And talking with Don was the output to getting all those equipment for this community.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. It sounds like the outputs are things like having the right amount of equipment to run your programs, having a program, and the outcomes are giving kids an opportunity to come together, to be active, to build relationships through games and things like that. So thank you for sharing that. I just noticed the time. My apologies. Normally I try and wrap up right on the hour, and we're about 1 or 2 minutes over. So it does wrap up our first RP 101 conference call. I'd like to thank all of you for sharing your perspectives today. Outputs and outcomes are language that you often see when you write proposals. But really, for you, what you want to think about is, what am I doing? What can I tell people I'm doing? What can I see that I'm doing? But why am I doing it? So really try and explain the why. The more we can explain the why, the more support we have for the recreation that we do. So, Maticho, Nakunik, Juana, thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're busy with things like spring break and stuff next week, please just let me know in advance if you won't be joining the conference call. And for those of you who are traveling next week, you might want to try and tackle next week's required learning activity before you go away rather than afterwards. And if you need any help, just feel free to give me a shout. So I'm going to stop the conference call recording. I will stay on the call if there's any questions. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.